And it's 13,339. I think it's number 8, F and G. For human skeletal remains are reasonably believed to be non-native Hawaiian following an evaluation pursuant to section 13,331, the department shall determine whether to preserve in place or relocate following application of the criteria stated in section 13,337. And consultation with appropriate ethnic organizations, the landowner, any known lineal or cultural descendancy. And then it says in G that if ethnicity is not determined, we can, or the department may use reasonable belief in the absence of a time the department shall preserve in place or relocate application of any relevant criteria stated in sections 13,336 and 37. So either way, we still have the ability to make a determination.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, I think ultimately the department makes a determination based on the information that they collect from any organization.
Sure.
I think just out of respect to reach out to some
of the judges. And then also, we do have the nails, right? And we can kind of approximate when those nails come from, and if we can, you know what I mean? I mean, if the Japanese cemetery is, you know, 1900s and the nails are, I don't know, 1880s, and that's different.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
the nails, the production of nails is a pretty broad-based production, and they're in really poor condition. They're identified as coffin nails mostly because of the amount of like wood material that's adhered and rusted and expanded.
Okay.
Okay.
There's not much left.
Huh? I'd be doubtful that anybody's gonna say anything different other than leave it in place, protect it, you know, mark the general area. I think everybody would agree that that would be, no matter what your ethnicity, would agree that that is a reasonable strategy, a reasonable approach.
Sure. So.
Well, it would be nice to include their comments if they had it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're opening for public testimony on this item A.
So my first thing is, and I've been an advocate for this. I don't like calling them Native Hawaiians because the United States federal statutes consider them Native Hawaiian an American citizen. And as far as I know from all the issues I've found, there was no naturalization of Hawaiians that ever transpired. Even in there, when they did the annexation, it didn't include the Hawaiians, it was kind of a Maori, which is more a correct term than Hawaiian. So to consider these people to be Native Hawaiian is an injustice to their identity, because you're changing their course. 1860, they were already given a law that was legislated in the kingdom by their people for them to stay in place. They had, that's a right. Even though they be dead, it was given to us. And yet, those rights get violated every single day by construction, by development, progress, without any consideration to these people's rights. Western society, they dead, they have no worth. That's not our culture. Our culture believes that they still live. They may not live in this dimension, but they live, and they guide us. We know, as Kanaka Maoli, that we cannot forge on future without our past. And that past has to come with us. But yet, our past is being destroyed. And so I am opposed to having them called, recognized under Western law as Native Hawaiians, because you stripped them of their right that they were given to lay there. And then it's challenged by all these supposedly expert archaeologists. The other problem I have is that if you have read your 6E law, it states there's two components when you identify. One is a medical examiner. Two, maybe an archaeologist. Okay, so that law has not been functioning for years. We have been taking only one side, the archaeologist. They have to be also qualified as forensic pathologists. So because you're an archaeologist doesn't mean you're qualified in certain points. That's why it was critical to have Barker here, because Barker had a doctorate in anthropology. Archaeology is only one part of anthropology, meaning that they lack the full knowledge to be able to make a finding. And this is what we're having today. We're having this problem because we don't have the other component to have that discussion. It's only being done by one side, and it's the side that's on the developers, which I believe is an infringement on the people's rights. And they are being taken without the right responsibility by the state or the county. And they're giving them permits to allow them to destroy not only our burials, but sacred artifacts, sacred sites that disappear and can never be restored. So I'm opposed to what, and sorry, but I do have background for my community correctional center because I worked there for 28 years. So I don't know where the bullets came from, but we're talking about in between door 1, 2, and 3, and that opening. The firing range wasn't there. The firing range is down by door 6 and 7. That's where we used to do our qualifications when I first started there, and it changed to Ukumihame. So I don't know where those bullet casings came from, but I know, as far as I know, there was no firing range in that area because there's no backing. The reason we use other areas is because you have the sand hill, mm-hmm. you know, it's backing for the guns. But, you know, I'm against them even doing anything. You know, I can tell you stories of that area that I've worked, having people walk up and down, doing chains, and nobody's there. But that's my comments, Mahalo.
Amy's next.
Just wanted to state that this is one reason why we need the Attorney General here at our burial council meetings, because you know you guys are all raising excellent questions, and I really lament the fact that the Attorney General is no longer here at our burial council meetings. I also urge you all to follow Hawaii Administrative Rules 13-300-33 subsection B1C, which states the good faith. Publication of notice in a newspaper of general circulation in the county in which the burial site is located, and a newspaper of statewide circulation for a minimum of 3 days. I have never seen a notice for any of the burials in the Maui Line project development. So maybe we could just, you know, because this area, Maui Correctional Facility, abuts the Maui Line project district, I'm urging you all to put the notice in the newspaper. That's it. Mahalo.
Mahalo.
I'm not going to say too much today in general because of the ongoing litigation that I'm involved with, but I think I would be remiss if I didn't point out that there was Evie disturbed at this site on January 29th, and about 5 weeks later there was a riot at the correctional facility. Now, I'm not saying it's an exact causation, but we all know that when burials are disturbed, it disturbs the psyche of the people near, it disturbs the psyche of the descendants, and it disturbs the energetics of that space. And we have seen countless disturbances in this project district. We've talked to countless people who have had unfortunate supernatural experiences. And I just wanted to make sure that we continue to talk about the ramifications of development in burial grounds It sounds like this prison might be on top of other burials, from what we heard from Trevor. And I just think that we need to continue to mulama that and work to rectify those disturbances that are happening and keep that in mind when we're working towards preventing further disturbance and desecration of our burials. Thank you.
Okay. If there's no one else, I'm going to close public testimony for this agenda item and move to, how are we on time? Move to item B, Maui Bay Villas Project, 575 South Kihei Road, Unit Number 1, Ahupua'a of Ka'onu'u, District of Kula, Island of Maui, TMK, as we sit here.
Chair, council members, good morning.
Good morning.
Mike. How's it going? I'm Mike Dega. I'm the principal investigator of SES Archaeology. With me today is Ian Bassford. He's our Maui Island manager and the field director for the project. Also with us today is Tyler Middleton from the Hilton. And in the back is Patty Shelton. She's a project management company from Ryder, Levitt, and Bucknell. Thank you for having us here today. I don't have any burials to report, but I understand that you folks have some questions and we're happy to answer them today. If you'd like me to sort of go through some of the paperwork bureaucracy to where we got to this point, I can do it very quickly.
Chronology would be good, I think, right?
Yeah. Okay. Maui Lu, late 60s, early 70s. Redevelopment was planning to occur in the late 90s. SES did an archaeological inventory survey that was accepted by the state in 1999. They did survey, they dug 16 stratigraphic trenches, no culture materials at all were found. In fact, when I was looking over the records, I saw a lot of fill that happens in a developed project. Fast forward to 2016, when the project was sold to Capridge, I believe, which eventually became the Hilton property. Tyler can clarify that. We met with the SHPD, and they said no historic properties would be affected by this redevelopment, which is occurring now, and they said no further work is needed at that point. Fast forward to December 2018, Hilton and GBI said we'd be more comfortable. We want to be proactive, let's have archaeological monitors on site. So we've been on site since December, and it's now mid-April. We're out there full time, every day. We have really nothing to report in terms of burials, significant sites or artifacts at this point. And so that's where we are today.
I've heard of a headstone.
Oh, the Pohaku? Yeah.
What do you call it? Pohaku?
Well, we're calling it the, I'll let Ian describe it, because he went out there and we had a testing strategy set up with the SHPD once that was found. If you'd like to hear about that, I can have it come up.
I guess I'm kind of new to this, but...
This particular
situation. Thank you. Is it possible that is it just a pohaku that's in place, or is it a head? When I think a headstone, I think something manufactured.
It was a piece of rock with carving on it that said 1884, and the name Lokaina.
So I have a question. When it was discovered, when it was found,
it's actually on the surface. Oh. It's embedded into a Kiabe tree. It wasn't dug up at all. There was no excavation in the area. It was actually found embedded into a tree.
So as the tree grew around the pohaku, the tree grew up. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tree still there?
Yes.
In my mind, it's obvious to me that it's a marking a burial. Was that not?
That's the way we initially looked at it.
Right.
We said, we look at it like a worst case scenario. There is a burial here. Mm-hmm. That's when we stopped in any work in that whole area. We coordinated off with Orange Fencing, and we started our discussions with SHPD, Kanano, and Kealana.
So my next question is, was it treated as a headstone? Did you guys follow the procedure when you find a marked burial?
Absolutely.
report is at salt intensity, it's not that
we treated it as an inadvertent discovery at that point.
So that's actually
because it's found very monitoring.
Yeah.
And that's when we tossed that tail on and did on it and said,
it's
possible headstone, it's a rock with carving on it. Let's talk about mitigation of this problem.
So, I mean, I guess I say, when I'm thinking about an inadvertent discovery, I'm thinking about something that's not marked.
And then
that's why it's inadvertent. But when I'm thinking about, I come up to something and it's marked, I don't know, in my mind, that's not an inadvertent discovery because, you know, inadvertent is when it's not marked. So when it's marked, I'm thinking it's you found a
cemetery. That's a common sense definition. The SHPO definition isn't common sense. Let's put it that way. The law is sort of perpendicular to what the common sense version is. Under this case, an inadvertent means it was found during monitoring. If you have something...
Yeah, but I think that's... And correct me if I'm wrong, because I've been trying to find... I think that's for unmarked areas. Yeah. This would be a marked area.
Yeah, we didn't even know it was a headstone at that point. We said it's a possible headstone. It was a rock with a carving and a date in it. And so we called it a possible. And that's why we started negotiating, hey, how are we going to mitigate this? Let's confirm whether it is or not, if there is a possible burial in the area or not. And then, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
And we can talk about the methodology that we worked out with SHPD and how we tested the area and all that, if you'd like.
I mean, I read the report. I guess what I'm mainly concerned about is that, you know, most of the time we're tasked with, you know, you found the burial because it wasn't marked. And this time, there's a stone marking it, yet we still don't acknowledge it as a burial.
It's a possible burial.
Okay, so what? I mean, there's a name and there's a year.
There's a cross on it too, or a plus sign.
And there's a cross. In my mind, that's
sufficient
marking
evidence.
A burial. I guess what I'm trying to say, like, okay, whatever you guys did this time, I'm thinking, I disagree that it's inadvertent because it was marked.
Let me ask you, that there's several definitions here. There's a burial good, mm-hmm. a burial site, which means you found human skeletal remains, mm-hmm. and there's a historic property, which can be an object. Mm-hmm. As an archaeologist, what would you define that headstone as?
Historic property.
A historic property.
It's an artifact.
Yeah.
Not a burial good.
No, an artifact.
Okay, an artifact.
I feel proven that it would be associated with the burial. And to get back to your point, you know, we do a lot of surveys around the islands. We find headstones, things displaced many locations around mm-hmm. the state just through development through time. So it's not surprising if you do find mm-hmm. something and there's not a burial directly under it or around it. Things tend to move during time.
The likelihood, though, is that, I mean, is it likely that the tree in its growth would have displaced and kind of destroyed more or less the actual EV that was under there?
I would say no, there should be evidence for EV.
Okay.
It would still be there.
Still be there.
Yeah,
so anytime you come up on a plaque, or what is it called?
Possible headstone.
Anytime you come up on a headstone, you dig it up to make sure that there's both.
No, we don't. We stop, and then we form a mitigation strategy we call SHPD. They did a lot of background research before we put a bucket in the ground to dig this. They talked to the local community, they interviewed Vernon, a lot of people to find out if they knew this name, Lokaina, and the date, what significance it was. We're the last line. Everything else is all just talking about trying to get information on that. That's not that line. Digging's the last thing you do.
So in your view, would you assume that there is EV, I mean, as an archaeologist, and maybe Ian can point, do you assume that there's an EV under there, or?
We designed our strategy to assume there was EV there.
Okay.
That's why we took it down to just below, you know, the grass level,
yeah.
and then we hand tested from that point. We always assume it's going to be there. If we don't find it, then we have our answer. But let's be cautious and assume it's there.
So when you find any kind of headstone, it's treated as an inadvertent discovery, or it depends what it looks like?
It depends. Yeah, in this case, it was considered a historic property, an artifact, based on the date, the inscription of 1884. We couldn't call it a burial because we didn't find any associated bones at that point.
What stopped you from calling it a headstone or a cemetery? I mean, I'm just saying, like, you could...
We're going in circles.
No, we're not going in circles, because what I'm trying to make clear to you is, is it because of the year or the name that it was determined not to be a headstone? If it said John Parker on it, 1887, would it have been treated the same, is what I'm trying to get at. Or if it was fancier, or if it, I mean, I guess I have a hard time, right? We're constantly bombarded with burials that aren't marked, right? Where we have to go through this whole process. But when we come upon something that is marked and still not treated as a burial is my point.
But it was treated as a possible burial. And that's why we did our mitigation strategy around that fact that we assumed a burial would be there. And the name is irrelevant. We would assume whatever the name was, that a possible
So if it was, what is that? A more defined headstone.
A manufactured headstone.
Well, we kind of figured the date from that and say it's a little more modern, unless it had an 1884 on it.
Would have been treated exactly like that. We'd say, well, we can't. I'm not sure if it's a burial because it's 1884. Is that what determining? Well, I think we have to dig and make sure.
If it said 1924, it'd be the same. It's a historic property because it's over 50 years old.
I think
so. It doesn't matter as long as it's more than 50. You would have to make sure that there's a burial under there.
Not necessarily. It's a case-by-case basis, like you guys decide inadvertence and unmarked burials. That's why we go to the state and we talk about mitigation. If they say, I've interviewed so-and-so, 10 members of the community, and they said, there's a burial there, leave it in place. Okay, then we work from that angle. If they said, the community didn't know, let's test it. Let's ground truth it and see if there is something there. And that's what we ended up doing in this case.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, if you're going to ask somebody, it says 1884. How many people alive today are going to have that historical memory in place?
Not many. So
ultimately, it was, oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
Was it Shipke, you folks made the suggestion that they ground truth? So, I mean, maybe
that they investigate.
So maybe we need to direct the question now.
Yeah.
This is, again, after a lot of consultation that they did, historical research, archival research, to try to figure out something.
What exactly is Hilton proposing then at this point? I mean, if it would... Is it to be removed?
It's an artifact. It has been. Considered under the law as an artifact now, and it's still on site. And everyone's talking to the community to figure out what to do with it now.
I mean, is there any... why not just leave it with, you know, establish a buffer, and because it's an artifact that seems to point and seems to suggest that it is a burial, how about just treating it as if it is a burial, give it, you know, a buffer, basically write up a burial treatment plan. Is there any opposition to that?
I'd hesitate to write a BTP if I don't have a burial, because we tested it. That whole area around it, we didn't find anything.
But I think if it's a burial,
what's the radius you want to go to say there's no burial?
No burial, right? Right.
It's kind of sticky. I'm sorry.
No, that's.
But we're here for your recommendations also.
Okay. Would it require cutting down the chiave that it is currently embedded in?
It's not embedded anymore.
It's removed. Okay. Sorry.
The state considered it an artifact at that point because we completed our mitigation. There was no EV in the area.
Yeah.
They said it's an artifact now. It's over 50 years old, therefore it's just a really big artifact.
Seems like the options are maybe to do, option one, probably our, I can't speak for all of us, but a preferred option was just treat it like it's a burial, like under that where it was last found. That's option one. Option two would be maybe to do some limited testing until and that's, again, not very preferred because if it's an EV, we want to...
Well, we did that.
They already trenched.
We trenched already.
Trenched. We've done under the... Yeah, you, okay.
Yeah, no. Ian trenched, how many trenches? Four trenches around the whole area.
That's the truest.
To see if there was the presence or absence.
And no, okay.
You guys didn't test the tree roots, did you?
No,
that's not an uncommon thing to find EV.
I'll let Ian come up because he actually did the testing. Thank you.
the ambassador at SES. Upon the initial find, I spoke with Kanana and Kialana regarding the proper testing methodology. This would be the location looking at plan view of the block itself. I did four trenches in the directions, all the way up to a stone so it would not fall over. At that point in time, it was still embedded in the roots, but I had Guy, who was our operator, who put a flat blade on the machine, and we got in there, we removed the overhead bolt, and then Derek and I trenched down to about 2.5 meters to bedrock or the water table. We did not find any human remains, we did not find any cultural deposits, we didn't find any pit intrusions or anything like that.
Okay.
At that point in time, tree removal was in progress. So what I had done was remove the stone by hand, put it on a skip, took it into the base yard, loaded it into the base yard. It's been there ever since. And I had Sammy with the GPS shoot a direct overhead location and a polygon around it. And that way, any future work that's going on in the immediate area is on their plan set. And if anything is found within the immediate vicinity, I could easily just go straight to the plans, link it up, and we have an identity and an individual there.
Okay.
But as Mr. Dega said, at this point in time, it's being considered an artifact, and it's being treated as such, but it's still on site. I've been talking with the Pulakai community to find out what is an appropriate mitigation measure, how would they like to see it, its permanent disposition, and we're kind of going back and forth on that.
So at this point, and just clarify for me, you think it may be, at one time it marked a burial, but it in some time between when it was when it was placed and...
I don't know, I mean, that's the thing, is that context is everything.
Yeah.
And the context is what, the context is what bothered me.
Yeah.
If I was on a job and it was raw land and I saw something like that, alarm bells would be going off in my head. But when I saw that with the way it was brought up, the tree was growing around it, I don't even know if that's the original location.
Right.
It could have come from Kolepolepo Pond when the whale sanctuary was being built. Somebody moved it over there in the middle of the night. I also don't even know if it's real. It could have been somebody sitting there tampering and playing with a stone. I don't know. Yeah. The context is the key.
Yeah.
And by not finding an individual related to that, it's really hard to determine a real truthful context of that. Okay. However, in my goings about, anytime I come across something like that, I'd rather err on the side of caution than be negligent.
I apologize, because I took it that the testing that had gone on had not been in direct proximity of the actual...
It was right there.
Headstone. Okay.
It was right there.
Wow. Yeah.
So I was able to... I think I drove past the site maybe a week and a half ago. I noticed the enormous sand piles that are on property. What kind of screen has taken place? Being that it might have been relocated from another part of the property, has the entire...
I got a full-time monitor down there doing the best they can. The conundrum that I'm in is that this is not a job that's required by SHPD for us to be on, and I have other jobs that I'm required to be on, and I'll go on record by saying I'm breaking the law by shining on some of those jobs to keep a pair of boots on the ground at Mali Bay Villas, because I recognize the significance of that area. And I think it's pertinent that we have somebody down there.
In your meetings with the community, what's the indication as far as disposition? Do they want it to remain on site? Do they want it archived someplace else?
It's still kind of up in the air.
Really?
I'm not really sure. You know, I'm gonna leave it up to the community to make the ultimate formal decision. Any input you guys would have would be great. But at this point in time, it's an artifact, and artifacts are owned by the landowner, and the Hilton ownership can do it up with it as they see fit. I'm sure if somebody stepped up and wanted to take possession of it or came up with some type of recommendation, I'm sure that they'd be willing to do whatever it takes.
So I just wanted to ask my question again. Was there any screening that took place on those sand piles?
Within the trenching that we did, or the mass excavation that's going on?
The mass excavation.
Mass excavation, there's been no screening, no. They don't have a screener, they don't have a processor on it.
And the project is set to move across the street, Makai, at some
point. I believe so, yes.
Okay, so here's my problem, and I think it may have been Shifty should have recommended a monitor, and then you wouldn't be in a problem of where you're having a legal pair of boots on the ground, right? So, and this is a story that was told to me by my grandpa is that there's Evie along the shoreline, along the road. So when they widened the road, he was really upset when that happened because he knows that there's no burials in the area, whether it's identified or not by whoever needs to identify it. But right next to the NOAA facility, I know that there's going to be sand that's going to be removed. I guess it's in the plans for this project that they replenish the shoreline in that area. So will you be there, and will Shifty recommend that they have a monitor for that process? And I would love, I want to see those sand piles screened. I mean, that's going to be my recommendation today. I would like to make a motion. I would hope that Shifty would recommend that you folks have a legal pair of boots on the ground for monitoring, you know, so it doesn't burden you in any way.
If it, as far as my understanding, the work that's across the street is with under the permit of the current project that's going on, Malka, the road, I would consider it associated, and it's on my radar just like the remaining project is.
Yeah, I'm fearful because the initial EIS that happened in 99, was it, or 99?
I don't know.
Yes. Didn't come across the sandstone, so that scares me. That makes me think that it's inadequate. It looks pretty big. And to miss it and not have that included, you don't even have to test for it. It's on the survey, right?
By sentiment, exactly.
So yeah. I just want to put that out there for the concept to discuss.
What if it were just returned to its, you know, as close a location where it was found and just left alone? Is that an option?
I'm not an engineer, but from my understanding, it's more or less that location is at the entryway to... I'm not sure if it's the clubhouse or the receiving hall, but that was one of the concerns that was brought up prior. And I mean,
sure,
we can continue excavation, get to subgrade, return it to its original location in a change of elevation.
Yeah, at 4 feet deep, you were hitting bedrock. Is that right?
No, we went down about 2.5 meters. We were all
two
in
and a
sand,
half meters. Okay, so let's
and then about 2 meters down. We either found very large boulders the size of these tables,
okay,
or we found clay substratum with water, yep, and clayed sand.
Okay.
You know, my biggest problem with this situation is that Hinana was contacted before any of the other members were made aware of this problem. Why was that?
Inadvertent.
I'm not quite sure. Like I said, the context is everything, and because we couldn't confirm, I was treating it as a historical site, so I was going through the classic.
Well, I don't think the council member has even been contacted about
it. You know,
you were?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you get to go see?
Mm-hmm.
The thing that bothers me is that you moved it before we could have a discussion on it. It's customary that pohakus are also markers for a lot of different things. But for you to move it before the greater public can make a decision on it or have a conversation about it, you, like if it was a marker for boundaries, you've changed the boundary measures. The ability to measure is not there. I'm running into a problem like that already in Waiʻeʻu. So they moved the pohaku. There's no way to determine accurately what the measurements are.
I accurately documented it via GPS, so I can return it to its exact position within a quarter of an inch elevation and XY. I can return it to its
that
location.
That would be a good thing. That would be good to start with.
Not a problem. I mean, I'm happy to do whatever. That was one of the biggest reasons why I marked it with the GPS.
But I really wish or hope that as you folks go through further work on this site, that you will contact the council member responsible for that area and work with the council member so that we can have a discussion on it if needed.
Done?
Yeah. I mean, I guess for me, what I want to make sure for the future is that we're made aware of how that determination is being made. So if it is the case that any headstone found over 50 years old needs to be examined or investigated to validate that it is a burial, then I can take that. But if it is only ones that have Hawaiian names on them or are beyond another date that is not, you know, it's sort of, you know, just arbitrary.
Yeah.
You know, I would like to know. So if it is 50 years, any gravestone over 50 years, we have to confirm that it's a burial by trenching or not.
I have a question about sort of the soil chemistry, my big question is, okay, that probably marked a burial at some point.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to the eevee? Did the pohaku get moved, or I guess my question is there any possibility that in the soil chemistry, you said there's glade sand, which probably indicates that there is water moving around there. Could it have dissolved? Could the eevee be, I think I kind of asked this earlier, is there any possibility that signature that the eevee would give could have been overlooked, missed, or just so incomplete, so dissolved that it would not have left any meaningful signature to be able to determine?
I have actually worked on a project just north of that site off of Kenalio Road.
Right.
The Takatani parcel, and we did find individuals that were interacting with the water table, and it did not degrade.
Did not degrade. Okay.
Any more at a speedier level than normal natural.
And we're not talking about 1,000 years. We're really talking about 134 years.
Right.
135 years. So.
Right. And again, this is the hard part about this specific case is the context of everything. That was really the thing that kind of it threw a really big monkey wrench into it.
Mm-hmm.
If, like I said, if I was walking and doing a survey on raw land, and I saw something like this semi embedded in the ground, alarm bells. But the way that this tree was popping up, and it looked out of place. I don't know its original location.
Sure.
I can hypothesize, but I can't say this is this because I don't know all of the variables.
And has Kimo'alo had any, Kimo'alo?
I have not had a chance to speak with Kimo yet, no.
At the very least, you would probably have a dark staining presenting a pit or something, at the very least. And considering the possible age of this, you'd have EV for sure. You brought up a good point, Dane. The survey was done in 1999. If this tombstone was there on that tree, it would have been found. It's really obvious.
Yeah,
it's a good chance this came after 99. It was somebody moved this rock there. Let's not forget that point.
Yeah. Or that they didn't do a good enough job.
They did a good enough job. That's my assumption.
Well, my assumption is not, because most of the time it's the opposite.
Okay, thank you.
Our experience.
And then just to clarify a point, whether required by SHPO to monitor or not, if we are monitoring, we have to follow the HRS if we are on site. So it is a legal monitoring, whether they call for it or not, because ultimately we have to produce an archaeological monitoring plan for the state. They say, hey, don't worry about that, and we end up monitoring, we still have to produce a report for us. And second, as Ian probably didn't know, he is not actually breaking the law by having someone down there. You get that on your iPhone? Because we have some jobs where we don't find anything and we write letters to SHPO that says we like to switch from full-time to intermittent monitoring, and that's why we have free people down there. We're not breaking any laws here. Just so you know.
So let me ask, are you planning on monitoring the Makai side of the road?
Wherever they want us to monitor, we'll monitor.
Yes.
Mike, I guess the question I asked Ian is for you. Why did you just contact Hinano instead of someone here on Maui?
I think, isn't that the practice? Is that the practice?
That's a procedure.
Protocol calls for us to call SHPO first. They're number one.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
And then they come back.
Then it comes back to you.
And he emailed.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Mahalo. Is there any Mahalo?
No, we from have the public.
Kalimoa, Loilani, same. Because it seems to be growing.
Sorry, Mike, can I ask you one quick question? How much was sticking out when you guys found it?
Is this the original position?
These pictures are after when
that's
it came up?
That or original that's the original.
That's the original position,
yes.
Oh, okay.
So it's not really wedged into a tree or
okay.
Growing around it.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Vernon?
Hey, good morning.
Aloha.
Good morning. Good morning. So far, Mike and Ian have been sharing. It's been right on. I just like add stuff to what they've been sharing. So, as far as the headstone that we all been entertained about, Ian did reach out to me, and because I don't know who. For Pulakai, that he felt that was the best way to move forward with that headstone. So myself and Cody Nemeth, we went down, met Ian. He got permission from Goodfellows to come on property and view the headstone. So when we first saw the headstone, you know, there was the it looked like Loke Lani or Loke something. It was 1888 or 1887 on top. So for myself, I try to piece that together in relationship to the fish pond nearby. And also down towards where David Malo Church is at Kulani Hapoi. Because that's sandstone. And they're planting sandstone. You know, the David Malo's church was built with sandstone. And there's sandstone on Camarillo, sandstone mouth of this project. And so I assume a lot of sandstone was used for different purposes. So we got to see the headstone, but I also felt I needed to reach out to the niños, to the Ahokoa, that would be hell to heaven. So we did hook up again with Ian a few weeks later. And we walked the property, the beach property. And it was that time that I brought up to Koa, Heba Heba, about the sandstone. You know what, you know, any thoughts about it, what you like doing with it, you know, I think that's you guys' decision to make, being as you guys are Koa. And we don't know the context to the, you know, the connection with Hawaiian and Inu. So he made the call that now just leave them, you know, just let them have it as an artifact, and that was that. So
okay.
My initial intent prior to meeting with Heba Heba was when Ian exposed the headstone to me, I wanted to take him home with the intent to just, because I live right down the road, mm-hmm. right, less than a quarter mile from Highland, and just hold it until we have further discussions with family members or people that might have connection to this or can provide information. That never happened. We just waited to have conversation with the leader. So that's small plant history with the headstone to what they were sharing. As far as the full-time monitoring, they get three of them, yeah? You get yourself, I think, Kapu, and one blonde one. I'm not comfortable with that title or label of being full-time monitors, because for me, when I drive by, you know, you get several equipment going on at the same time and only see the blonde one, you know, and the other two guys off. Well, they rotate. So I'm not buying any of that, the full-time monitoring. A lot of people, whether you're Hawaiian or non-Hawaiian, that mod to that place, that drive by, they're sharing the same thoughts that they take pictures, they take videos. I try and put together one package of everybody's concern to that property right now. It's taking me time right now because other things say interrupting my that project. But so that full-time monitoring, I'm not liking any of that at all, and so does others. To the letter Mike Dago is writing, reading about that Shifty did give them clearance that they can go ahead and, you know, that there was a 2015 letter. Sorry, I don't know that letter with me. It's my first time to, you know, the SMA was my first one. It's my first one. Yeah, so I didn't come prepared. But there was a letter in 2015 letter in August and October. An art person at that time made recommendation that more work be done on this property. And in 2016, Alan Downer signed it off. That's 20 years went by. And then we changed hands with plans and ownership. So that AIS should have been updated. So I wrote a nice letter to Susan Ebel and Alan Downer. They never respond. I'm not the first one, I guess. So only one, but I will follow up. And if I have to go and tap other resources or people to make this right, it needs to be right. There should be more monitoring on this property. Ian's position, it bugged him that he drive by every day and that find out there's no monitoring on this project. So he reached out to Goodfellas. He has a relationship with Goodfellas on a voluntary approach. So I don't know what his status with that. He voluntarily wanted to do the monitoring. And that might be short term. This project going to go for a while. For me, that's my backyard. You know, I've been there since 65. And our house was the last house on Camelia Road. After that was Okiavi's and then Padmaui. If you guys remember South Point Village, my house is right next. Never have laws back then to protect those EVs down. All our Ohana and work over there, and they were told what to do. Never mind. So all back there get EVs. The Takatani property that Ian brought up get EVs. So all Kenolio get EVs. How can? So our kupunas always have said, you know, this guy Gibson, Maalu guy, he built on grade. He worked with the Hawaiians back then. He didn't want to interrupt, so he built on grade. And then we also hear stories from other kupunas, you know, get EVs over there. So no EVs was found. I just name a place where they more monitoring need to be done. You know, there's a piece in Kalani Hapoi River right off just south of Kaunuulu Road, right across the street from Maui. That hillside is preserved. Now, I hear it's preserved that way because there's EV in that mound. That mound used to continue across the street. Mm-hmm. Never have Kaunuulu, it used to continue to Maui. So how come that stayed preserved? Mm-hmm. And there's nothing concerned about Maui site. So, you know, a lot of people, they, you know, when you do a project, everybody come up from the woodwork and they want to say what they want to say. You know, there's a lot of people concerned about this project. You know, it was high grade, now it's like a big hole in the ground. Mm-hmm. It's tough driving by that place every day. You know, I coordinated a hand sign waving to protest the Shifty Park, the art again. You know, so. You know, I'm not liking that part. 20 years went by. Yeah,
oh, I gotta ask you to wrap it up.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Nah. And yeah, I'm done.
But mahalo.
Yeah.
Appreciate
thank you.
Going on. Thank you.
I need to go move my car, but yeah. I can come back.
Do we have other testimony?
Hi, Lola, Loyalani, and then Bob.
Okay, we need to take a short recess, 10 minutes to move cars. Me too. Thank you.
Hey, Taguma's gone now, so it's like you can take more of a chance.
He's gone. That's an expensive chance.
Yeah, that's true. So,
yeah. Okay, so we are continuing with public testimony on the Maui Bay Villas project, and I think Kalilua was next.
Yep, Kalilua, Loyalani, and then Bob.
Okay.
Hello, Kalilua Kamani. So I have some opposition to what's going on. For one, you know, the permit was submitted because the archaeological inventory survey said there was no historic finding, no value. But then, lo and behold, at the start of this project, we have a find. And yet, it was requested, I believe, by the community to have an updated AIS done. But SHPD agreed that they didn't need to have one, and they moved along with the project. Yet, lo and behold, weeks into the project, we come with a major find, which is considered an artifact. And yet, the project is allowed to move along when it was questioned the AIS should be looked at. Because we're finding that they've done this before, the state has allowed old archaeological inventory service to continue the job, and they find burials. And so even with the continuous, and I'm not blaming our office staff here, they're great guys, they do good work, but it's not them, it's the administration. They failed to do their fiduciary duties to protect, you know, these sites who have already been testified to have EV, already been testified by people of sites. And yet those things are dismissed, and then they continue to be given the work, the permit, and then they have a fine. And then it's like, oh, it's okay, just move along. Just take out the rock, don't have any discussion with the public. Who is questioning that there should be another ark done, and yet it's not. Other problem we have, and not to be disrespectful to Ian, but is there a difference between an ark monitor and archaeologist? Because we've had the same problem with Lisa, and this is the problem we're going to come up with at BLNR, is that are they qualified to see the findings and to actually make determinations? If they are, then, you know, let's see some kind of paperwork that qualifies these persons. I'm not saying it's their fault or the company's fault, but it's the system again. It doesn't regulate these things. You know, we have people confine themselves to call themselves archaeologists. How they are, we have no idea. We go to the site to find out their monitors. But does that qualify them to dig a pit and to make discoveries and to explain the discoveries that are found? If that's true, then why do you have to go and get a certificate, or you have to get a degree? I don't understand. It's a mystery to me, you know. But yet, it's not their fault. It's a fault at administration, the state, SHPD, failing to do their fiduciary duties to the people of this community, especially to the Kanaka Maoli. And they continue to violate our rights. These things are continuously happening, and we have people that are in charge that are not qualified. We have things that are not in place, such as the medical examiner. They haven't done anything about that. So again, we're left with a component which is one-sided, the side of the developers. And if the archaeologists want to work, they have to play ball with the developers, which leaves us in the pits because we have nothing to fight. And you guys are only listening to one part of the story. There's nothing else. That's my comments. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, Loyalani, and then Bob.
project is really Heva. I'm sorry, but I was down there to sign wave with Uncle Vernon guys. There was no monitor on site that day. They're digging these gigantic pits with nobody watching, with this huge equipment. And we're talking about a highly sensitive area, as Ian pointed out, which is why he opted to do voluntary, to get the company to do voluntary monitoring. The problem, of course, is the AIS, as Uncle Vernon said, it's very old. It was actually written before the laws were changed, updating the rules for an AIS. And so in 2015, SHPD attached a letter to that permit saying that a new AIS was required. However, in 2016, Alan Downer sent a different letter saying, no, the old AIS is sufficient. And so here we are left with this problem with the potential for massive desecration in a storied area. This is a wahipana with mo'olelo attached to it. We can't just look at this as one TMK. This is a storied place that belongs to our people. And for I realize that we're limited by the laws that we live under, and as you know, we're challenging that in court right now. This falls under the same issue of an inadequate AIS, just like the 15, just like the Kamehameha Avenue property that's happening right now. They're working with an old AA. They said there was nothing there, yet it's in the context of a historic burial ground. This is a huge, huge problem with SHPD. I would say that if the developer wanted to do the right thing, they would do a voluntary AIS. They would stop the project, and they would take it upon themselves to meet with the community, to do a thorough AIS with ground penetrating radar, not a million trenches that could potentially disturb more burials, but that they would take it upon themselves to do the right thing and find a pathway to protect what is there and to work with the community. They're going to be developing across the street, as they said, and supposedly there's supposed to be like an infinity pool and some other kind of BS, I'm sorry, but are we going to be restricting beach access? Is this going to be a private beach for tourists? This is our place. This is our home. These are our stories. This is our identity. And having this kind of development is just more settler colonial BS, and it's killing us as a people. It's killing us. I hope the developers are listening. It's killing us as a people. It's destroying who we are, and we're not having it anymore. We're not going to take it anymore. And we will find pathways to make it funnel for our future generations. Thank you.
I count on Bob Hansen. Lived here and bought a house here in 1985. I've been a realtor on the island, and I know about the Maui Lu and the new Maui Bay Villas project, and I'm hoping that they will, whatever you decide here today, that somebody will follow that and make sure that it doesn't change in the future. Which brings me to a segue, and I'll just give you 60 seconds at a time. I wanted to bring your attention to the Grand Wailea, which I understand is a permit to tear down the chapel. I don't know if you know about the chapel on the Grand Wailea. Back in 88, 89, I lived right next door to Charlie Young and Betty Young, his wife. Knew them well, and they know the history. And there were bones found on the Grand Wailea. And the deal was that they were going to build this chapel, make it very Hawaiian in style, and that would be, you know, to help with the mana of the bones. And I'm just a little upset right now that they have, I understand that they have a permit to tear this thing down and they're going to build villas out there. I respect their right to do that, but to me, they should not be able to tear this down.
Okay, that concludes item B. The next section is on training, and I know that there was an issue that perhaps Delana or Leica You want to speak?
Yeah.
Not this year.
So for training, just from clarification, for the community to please utilize your Bureau of Cultural Geographic rep for concerns, questions, and they might be able to be more available than just Kailan himself. So please go to your geographic rep to concerns, questions, or things that you want to bring to their attention, and just please utilize them. And everything that the Bureau of Site Specialist knows, he's going to notify the geographic rep. Issue, so utilize that as a resource to help people.
Okay, thank you. Maybe I was a little premature. On that Maui Bay Villas project, was there anyone on council that wanted to?
Do we want to make any recommendations? Perhaps on the AIS or requiring further monitoring or specific in the monitoring? No? I'm just
yes,
curious.
I'm trying to,
I want to talk about it. Yeah.
Think about what.
Well, I don't think that was right. We still have them here, which I appreciate. So thank you for sticking around. But I think, yeah, we should talk a little more. You know, like I said, I do have concerns. I do have one more question. What's the extent of the excavation we have now? Is it, are we going further down, or are we kind of, have we hit the end of the mass excavation as you said before?
At this point, the brunt of the excavation is working on the retention basin, which is in the center of the project, which is where the old clubhouse used to stand. And there is drain line work going on both Kalaunui Street as well as South Kihei Road, as well as secondary and tertiary equipment that are moving stockpile materials and bringing in gravel, backfill material, and stuff like that. It's a big job, and it's going to be going on for a while.
And you folk, do you think you're slated for how much longer within the monitoring?
You know, I can't comment on the construction schedule.
It is voluntary on behalf of the developer. So
6 to 8 months. I mean, I'm going to do whatever I can to keep my meat hooks in this job as long as I feel that it's the right thing to do.
Okay.
I'm doing the best that we can.
I like that, but I would like also to have Shifty's support, not support, but recommendation that folks have it and not just be, you know, on good faith of the developer or yourself.
Absolutely.
As just to support, you know, how you feel.
Understood.
You need to be there. Kailana just ran out, so.
Do you want to make a recommendation of some?
I'm trying to figure out how I should recommend, or what we can recommend.
Yeah.
Because I want to recommend that Shifty require, you know, the whole thing with Alan Downer saying that it's not necessary for them to update their AIS rubs me the wrong way. And
we got another testifier.
Oh, we have it?
Yeah.
Okay. We closed testimony, but past chair.
I've noticed a lot of GOMS trucks going 24/7. I was just curious,
you gotta talk to us.
Oh, sorry. Just a question for these gentlemen behind me. Are any of the materials from the former Maui site, is any of that going to be removed, taken off? I see a lot of sand from my view on South Kihei Road.
Okay, mahalo. Entertaining the question?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Dane would like to.
Sorry, yeah, I'll ask. Is there any sand being removed from the property, or is it being kept on site and being used as backfill? Yeah, relocated.
From my conversation that I had with Goodfellow Brothers, my understanding is that a majority of the material is going to be remaining on site for cuts and fills. However, I was told there was going to be material exported off the site. Whether that's for processing, I don't know. I'm not an engineer and I'm not a construction consultant, so I'm just there to kind of do my thing. I have no control over that type of thing.
You make recommendations to them on what should and should not be monitored.
I can express my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if they take it, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I can express my opinion. And
if there is only so much wiggle room and you have to fight for one thing, I would highly suggest that they screen outgoing material.
I would suggest that
we screen all material, but if we cannot get Shifty to recommend
we can make a recommendation.
Yeah.
Let's recommend that.
Okay.
But how many things we want to recommend? Because I want to recommend that. I want to recommend that AISP updated. But that's voluntary. It would have to be right now. It would have to be voluntary.
Well, there's been no
it's
fight.
It's all voluntary.
What was that?
There's been no fight. The developer called us and said, we want you on site every day. And so we said, we promise we'll do that every day. So there's been no fight whatsoever with them. They understand. I mean, GBI's, all the guys working here are local guys. So they know.
Well, testifiers mentioned that there are many vehicles moving on site and only one monitor, if any.
Yeah.
So how are they able to monitor all of those equipment?
We don't have to monitor all the equipment or the things that we've already monitored. If they're backfilling, we don't need to monitor because it's already been monitored. The trucks going in and out, we don't have to monitor. It's where they're doing the deep cuts, especially towards the South Kihei Road side, is for us the most significant area. As you go more Mauka, it's less so, because that's where we tested. We know there's a lot of fill and a lot of rocks. We tend to make the sand the most sensitive areas and stick someone down there. Ian's trying to juggle. He's got one person. We're down there full time. If we can have two or three more, we'll throw it at him every day we can.
Prior to you folks arriving on site, how much of the area was excavated? Prior to you folks
monitoring, how much of the area was excavated?
This much along South Kihei Road for dust vents, as well as Kalana Wu.
So has any of that material been integrated with the sand piles that has been monitored?
They're co-mingling material, and they're
but not separate.
Yeah, they're co-mingling, and they're moving, and they're shoving things around to create their stockpiles for various uses.
So you do have material that might have not been monitored
before you came on site.
So that's
the material that was cut prior to us coming on site, I went through and inspected myself. I had them stirred through. I looked at it. I did not find any confirmation.
Is that screening? Does that include?
No, screening is not occurring down there.
And that's a large undertaking.
Yes.
Especially the amount of material that's out.
Yes.
Of the ground now. So I'm curious as to whether or not the developer or the project developer would be interested in wanting to take on something of that nature.
Most of the material that's going to be taken off, though, was brought on in the 1960s, right?
Correct.
So it's not from that site originally anyway. So if EBR found, which it may be because it's something that do we know where the source of that original fill was?
It's Maui and Lua. I guess we'd have to dig through those.
Have to dig through some files.
Planning commission.
Chances are it came from like Waikapu, you know, somewhere where they're doing sand mining in the past. So.
And again, like I said, you know, we've been out there since December and we haven't found one speck of charcoal. It's been sterile everywhere, especially on the Mauka side where you have most of the fill, and even now down towards South Kihei. So far, we don't have any burials whatsoever or cultural materials.
Isn't there going to be replenishment for the beach area?
That's correct. Yeah.
How much of an area are you going to be covering? How much sand will be needed?
I'm glad you asked because I printed that out last week. 1,950 cubic yards. Originally deposited beach sand and redistributed to the localized eroded area at the beachfront.
And where are they getting this sand from?
It's all from there, actually. It's all been deposited within the last 70 years, and it's clean sand. They did a huge study on the sand. They dated it. They figured out the whole geological component along the coast. They said it's all within the past 70 years. All they're doing is redistributing that sand to the eroded areas. Nothing is going Mauka where there's any chance of hitting any EV or original sand dunes that date pre 70 years ago.
Do we have to make a motion or could I just recommend something?
I don't think we need to make a recommendation.
You know, I think a few of us support this, is that we recommend that any excavated sand remain on site. We can do that, or
yes,
beach nourishment. I don't know how I feel about it being relocated and used for the beach nourishment project. I think that's a little different, but
So any sand excavated on site stays on site?
Stays on site.
I can ask.
Yeah.
Apologize, Chair, I have to.
Okay.
Maybe lose quorum now?
We can lose quorum.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, mahalo, Mike, sorry about that.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, our next meeting is scheduled for May 15th. We do lose quorum, right?
Yeah.
I'd like to make a note. We were supposed to have a discussion today on the expansion of the preservation site at Maui Lani. That was the recommendation last time that I would work with the descendants and those were interested in expanding, enlarging that preservation site. It's not on the agenda. Can I just make a comment on it? You can decide what you want to do with it afterwards.
Make a comment or can I?
We're not going to make a motion, but I want you to know. At this point, the recommendation would be to take the entire site, what's left, undisturbed, to make it a preservation site. And the basis for that is if you continue that ridge line across the street, across Kuikahi to the next parcel, we have another 78, 80 burials in there. And they haven't gotten to the back half of that pool yet. So rather than continue disturbing the parcels, the burials, I think it would be smarter to just make it a larger preservation site. There was a question that I wanted to find out as to who made the determination that that would be a preservation site to begin with, because that preservation site was determined before the AIS was done. Okay.
Before it was done or before it was accepted?
Before it was done.
Interesting. Okay.
I guess we have to put that one on the agenda.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I don't know why it's not there. I'm trying to remember. Okay, so it's all good. We're going to adjourn now. Our next meeting again is May 15th.
May 15th.
Thank you. Before noon. There are two things. We were supposed to do that. And the other motion was to have Marcus or somebody from town to come here and answer questions for us.
I'm sick.
Yeah.
But